flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
There's a fly ball out toward left. It's way back. Stephen Collin. It's gone.
Goodbye, Mr. Spaulding.
Ian Happ is in a home run.
Oh, that's
it's
really
over
cool.
Now, so drink your big black cow and get out of here.
I can just go home. Stephen can take over, huh? Bringing the good luck.
Give that ball a passport.
Can get into Canada with that passport at least. The Cubs have a 5-2 lead.
That was Stephen Colbert, who looked good in the Cubby jersey. Now the white was bright. But it was so funny because I think when they announced it, they're like, hey, you know, usually they get a, you know, somebody to go do this, but today they got a real celebrity. It was so funny. I was like, why are they crapping on him like that? But they were right. He is probably one of the bigger celebrities that they'll have this season, singing the seventh inning stretch and just being along for the ride. I saw him taking pictures with everybody, did a great job. Even my guy Miguel Esparza, who does the Spanish broadcast, got himself a picture with Stephen Colbert. He went into the booth and they got a picture with them as well. So shout out to everybody. So clearly he was nice, right? Because those booths are next to each other, right? Miguel Esparza, right. When I've been in the booth doing Cubs pre and post, they are right next to Pat and Ron. So I'm sure they just tapped on the wall and was like, please. No, just playing. I'm sure Stephen Colbert actually went to everybody and said something. So that was great. Cubs, of course, get the victory yesterday against the Toronto Blue Jays, 3-2. Justin Steele pitched 2 with a couple of rainouts in that one. And the Cubs currently 4.5 games back of that final wild card spot, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They are the only team, and of course they were behind Cincinnati yesterday, but Cincinnati lost. And if you include Cincy in that as well, they are the only team between Cincy, St. Louis, San Francisco, the Mets, and Atlanta that are above 500 in their last 10 games. So they're on the right side of fate right now. And if they can keep it up, especially with another victory today, Cubs 2 games under 500, currently 4.5 games back out of that last wild card spot, which Atlanta currently holds. The Mets are a game back, and then San Fran and St. Louis just half a game in front of the Cubs. So Cubs sitting primed and ready to go. And I like it. And you know what's odd is that beginning of the season, every year my brother and I, we make the same bet. He picks a win total for the Cubs. I pick a win total for the Sox. And then we make a bet, $100 each, and we try to get there. A lot of times, but in this season, I was telling my brothers, like, broski, because he had the number, you know, we do like a two-hour negotiating where we try to settle in on an actual win total, because obviously it's all subjective. But I was trying to explain to him, I'm like, yo, broski, you know, Cody Bellinger, they brought him back, and you're expecting to say, you know, for him to duplicate the same season last year. You know, Stroman's gone, but you're bringing Shota, you're not sure what you're going to get. Like, and he's like, you're such a hater, bro. And I'm like, what? I'm being a realist, right? And then when the Cubs find themselves in this situation that they're in right now, let's say like a week ago, and then it's like everyone's like, oh, Cubs. And I'm like, well, why are you a hater now? I was a realist at the beginning of the season, and then now you're and the weirdest part about it is now I'm in.
Yeah, right?
I'm in.
You were the hater to begin. Now you want the part of this team.
Isn't that but Sean, you've been with me for these last couple of years. I've always been in on the Cubs.
Yeah, you're not really a Cubs hater. You're not.
I am not a Cubs hater at all.
Not by any means.
I love the front office. Love the front office of the Chicago Cubs. I love the team. They're fun. This is a fun team. So why is it that I am the one that is now the optimist? And I'm like, guys, what? Where's the rest of the gang that was following?
It does feel like there's a lot of fatigue with Cub fans right now.
Yes,
right?
That yeah. They're out. They are out. They are emotionally exhausted over the last two seasons of having the level of believability they did last year and coming falling short. And then this season, anticipating the victories with the new coach and whatever they have. And then, you had a year and a half of disappointment. Now, as a Sox fan, right, there's been disappointment, but you kind of you grow used to it. But the Cubs, you're like if I'm the Sox and the Sox were 4.5 games out, I'd be like, let's go. Let's go. And I feel like the Cubs fans have reserved themselves to, you know, just feeling like I don't want to emotionally invest myself into this team anymore and then them fall short. I mean, not feel good. But Cubs, 2 games below 500, you know, the pitchers are pitching well. I mean, I don't know. For me, it just seems like, you know, it's like if you are a Cubs hater, this is what happens. You hate on the Cubs, and then they find a way to sneak into the playoffs to make you look silly. That's what they do, and then that's what happens. And so I am trying to be on the other side of that, get ahead of it, so that when they do sneak into the playoffs, I can say, hey, I told you, even though I said they weren't in the beginning of the season. But Cubs today, of course, pregame begins at 12:45. Matt Spiegel got the call there. And then, hold on. Why? Somebody just texted, why is Inside the Clubhouse never interrupted for Bears preseason coverage, but Hit and Run frequently is? It's a good point. My baseball purists out there.
It's because we're on Sundays.
And because it's David Haw and Bruce Levine. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are a little connected, huh?
They're not doing... David Haw did enough of that on Take the North podcast. This Bears takes go over there. When I'm doing Hit and Run... I am no Bruce Levine. I am no Maddie Speaks. So I need 20 minutes to talk about the Bears, especially after the game yesterday.
It was a fun game yesterday,
it was
right?
It's a great game yesterday. But we'll get to that at 10:20 with my guy Herb Howard. I got a guest for that. I was talking about the Ian Happ hate earlier. You know how it's warranted because it's there, but we should kind of let it fade away. Somebody from the 832 says, my Hap hate goes back to Cubs not trading him for Verlander in 2017. That's a long grudge, my friend. That is a long grudge to hold on a guy like Ian Hap. But, you know, the Cubs, there are things that are, you know, this weekend, man, it's felt good. Like I mentioned before, they faced the White Sox, the worst team in the league, and then they go up against the Guardians. I can understand why there were some shock there for the Cubs. But now, you know, they're taking the first two against the Blue Jays granted, they've been 1-1 victories, but, you know, the game on Friday, they had it in hand. The game yesterday, they were up 3-1 going into the ninth. Lopez just gives up the homer, right? But there are things and takeaways from this. Justin Steele, a couple of innings, you know, getting him into form is good. Cody Bellinger, you saw it on Friday, smacking that 78-mile-per-hour curveball over the plate, right? Happer getting the leadoff homers. There are things there that you can point to that should make you feel good about this Cubs team, right? Seiya coming through in the 10th despite the blown save on Friday, right? Chris Bassitt, I mean, you know, still a solid pitcher. You got to put up the runs. Kyle Hendricks, you know, it's just tough. It's tough. Isak Paredes playing a good third base after struggling a little bit initially coming to the Cubs. There are things there you can look at. The bare hand grab in the second inning on Friday was incredible, right? And it looked so casual. So you got to be feeling good. I was just talking to Jim Callis about the infield of the Chicago Cubs. Left to right, Paredes, Swanson, Horner, and Bush. I mean, that's a solid infield. 312-644-6767. It's one thing for me to say it. It's another thing for you guys to take some calls. Text messages are coming in as well. Let's go to Ben on Queen. Ben, we've had a chance to talk a couple times. Good to chat with you again.
Buenos dias, Acere. How you doing, man?
Un placer de hablar contigo. Dime, why don't you think the Cubs are going to or not going to make the playoffs?
Well, if they're going to, it's going to happen like this. Now, Bruce Levine, this time of year, always reminds us that it's about the loss column. And the Cubs had played more games than the other teams in the wild card race for that third wild card race. So they've taken days off in the past 3 weeks. In those past 3 weeks, I'm only looking at Atlanta because Atlanta is the top team. That's the team you have to overcome to make it. You have to get to 85 wins. Atlanta has lost all 4 days that the Cubs have had off, the July 5th, August 8th, August 11th, August 15th. They were 11 games above 500. They are now, I think, what, 5 games above 500. They got 39 games left. The Cubs got 38 games left. Now, if the Cubs go 24-14 to get to 85 wins, Atlanta's got to go 19-20. They are on a downtrend. I always say, look at the standings as charts, and you can see how a team is doing. Now, the other good-looking chart is the Mets, but they've got a brutal schedule coming up, including a road trip to the West with the Padres and the Diamondbacks coming up right now this week. The Cubs are 3.5 behind the Mets, 4.5 behind Atlanta. The Mets could go 20-19. Atlanta could go 19-20. The Cubs have to go 10 games over 500. That can happen if they're starting to play like they've been playing. And if you look at the chart, like I've been saying, they have been rising to the occasion. So if you're going to look for a case to make, you have to make it within, you know, the mathematics, and that you're going to hope that Atlanta is going to keep floundering, the Mets are going to keep floundering, and Craig Tober is going to come up like they always said in Milwaukee. Now, just one final point, mister. Ian Happ may be a good-looking white boy, but Ian Happ never had a 5-WAR year, and Rizzo had two. Rizzo had two fourth-place MVP finishes, a platinum glove, and between 2015 and 2019, you could count on him for 90 runs, 30 home runs, and at least 100 RBI. Love you, Acere. Mil gracias. Nos vemos. Ciao. Bye-bye.
I'm glad you finally took a breath there, Ben. I appreciate you, Hovind. Thanks for hanging out. Always enjoy getting your takes because it's the goods. And it's a great point about Ian Happ. I mentioned earlier, if you're just tuning in, you know, Happ gets a lot of hate, and I'm sure he feels it. And it's probably because he feels like he's not getting the same love as a Rizzo or a Bryant. But great point. The war was a lot different with that guy. But good stuff nonetheless. And we are going to continue, man, leading you guys into Cubs baseball. 12:45 pregame begins. First pitch, 1:20 p.m. Zach Zaman, Ron Coomer got the call. But you're going to hang out with me. And we're going to do a little bit of remix. This is Hit and Run. I am filling in for Matt Spiegel. But the Bears did play yesterday. And what a game it was. And I don't say that just because of Caleb Williams and his last two drives. I say it because there were still some moments for growth and learning, which is what the preseason is all about, especially for a rookie quarterback. We will talk Bears football with my guy Herb Howard from It's the Bigs. So make sure you guys stick around. We'll talk to him next and get his take on the first three drives of Caleb Williams. Herb Howard joins the show next. Don't go anywhere. It's 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
So now empty set shotgun.
On second and 10, this is a shot position here from the 48. He's looking downfield, nothing there. Spins away, throws on the move. It is caught! Rome Odunze connects with his fellow rookie.
One to nine. Get used
Loved
to it.
It. Loved it. As you should have. Of course, that connection. Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, I'm sure we'll see it often. Bears get the victory 27-3 against the Cincinnati Bengals. But there were some moments there. There were some moments for the Bears. Some lowlights, certainly. Some growing moments, I guess you could say. But overall, I think, you know, it's what you wanted, right? You wanted the defense to be able to clean up some Caleb Williams mistakes, right? You wanted Shane Waldron to intentionally try to get people involved, right, in the preseason. You saw them come out the gate trying to get Keenan Allen to catch. Even Rome Odunze, they get him with the end around, right, so that way he can touch the ball and we can see something going on there. It was interesting to see.
What was your overall take on Caleb Williams? Like, I feel like
for that game or overall,
I guess, like, I mean, for that game for sure, but I guess just how you're feeling with him right now, just cause I'm still, you know me, I was still kind of on the Justin Fields bandwagon for a little bit too long.
So. It's impossible. I was on Bears Twitter yesterday and Justin Fields was trending, because half the people were complaining about Caleb Williams's, third and six run. They're like, oh my God, we haven't seen a Bears quarterback do this since Justin Fields. And I'm like, and I couldn't help myself. And I'm like, are we doing this? Caleb Williams has had two preseason games. And despite the pressure and everything, he still kind of came through for you. And you're still finding a way to try to talk about Justin Fields in this situation. Like, bro, chill out. Let it go. And then, you know, the other half, right, because Justin Fields was trending yesterday, was them highlighting, like, him missing a wide receiver and then him throwing an interception off fourth and two or third and two, whatever it was. And so Justin was out there. But I think Caleb, I think there are certain things you feel good about, right? One, keeping the eyes down the field. If you watch him when he's scrambling, right, when his eyes are down the field, he wants to make a play. I think the other thing, he looks like a professional quarterback, right? For a rookie to be coming in, he doesn't look like a guy that has never played a snap in the NFL. I mean, he looks like a highly touted rookie prospect. I think, you know, let's not forget that, you know, it was a 90-yard drive yesterday that was capped off with his 6-yard run. That was a 90-yard drive. And then his first game, second series, was a 97-yard drive. I mean, you could tell me what you want about Justin Fields, and I'll listen to you, but you can't knock the kid. You got to feel good about Caleb Williams. Again, it's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. This is Hit and Run. I understand it's the baseball show, but this is the first live. I'm the first live talent to be on since the Bears won yesterday, 27-3, so we get an opportunity to talk a little bit about it. And to do so, we get to talk to our next guest who's hanging out with us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Your hometown tire, check him out at aturo.com. Of course, he covers the Bears for the Bigs. And it's just an all-around good guy. Who was it? Greg Gabriel that gave him a really nice compliment. And he said that his questions at the podium incite great answers that allows us to help. And I think that that's a super big talent. And you know what? His answers on the radio right now are going to do the exact same. Herb Howard, ladies and gentlemen. Herb, good to talk to you, brother.
Hey, what's happening, man? How you feeling?
Feeling good. Let's jump right into it and get into Caleb. And let's start with the first three drives, right? I mean, and I want to talk specifically about the body language. I think a lot of people weren't necessarily mentioning that yesterday, and it was given Jay Cutler, right? It was like the what's going on in my headset. I'm shaking my head when I'm walking back to the huddle. What was your take on that? And you know, what did you see when you first noticed that?
Yeah, I just think I think that was just a level of disappointment, right? They expect to come out and play well. The Cincinnati Bengals obviously didn't play their starters, and the Bears played well last week. They had a pretty good week of practice. They made some plays in the joint practice versus the Bengals' number one defense, and so things weren't going the way they anticipated. And you could definitely see some of that in the body language. I don't know if it was, you know, just the nerves wanting to perform so well, first time out there in Soldier Field, first time in front of the whole, in front of the home crowd, and things just don't go your way. And we've all been there before where, you know, you have these expectations of things happening a certain way, and then you get out there and they don't happen. And the first time it's like, well, maybe it was just, you know, this kind of one-off thing. And then you get out there a second time, it's another three and out, and then another. And that frustration, you know, sets in. It's hard to hide that emotion.
When you were looking at the first drive, I mean, because it's not an actual game, right? So I think even myself, I was like, damn, why didn't they run the ball that first play like they did in the first preseason game? Just to, you know, let's settle into what this should look like. But you could tell they wanted to get Keenan involved in that. Did you have any issues with them coming out firing with three straight passes?
Not particularly, simply because it's the preseason. I think they're exploring, you know, all of their options in terms of ways they can go about attacking defense and exploiting matchups and those types of things. If that becomes a trend where you start to see them kind of overthrowing the ball early in games, trying to put the entire game on Caleb's shoulders too soon, then I will certainly have a problem with it. But I didn't have a problem with them doing that. I was certainly it was a curious thing to watch in terms of them not establishing the run, not utilizing play action, getting them out, you know, on the edge off of the run game. But, excuse me, but I think that, you know, I think that Coach Waldron is just trying to explore his different avenues that are available to him. So I didn't have a huge problem with it. I certainly don't want that to be a trend or a sight of things to come.
We're talking to Herb Howard here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel. This is Hit and Run, our baseball show. But, of course, Bears played yesterday, and this is the first opportunity we get a chance to chat about them. So when you look at those first three series, right, I mean, did you chalk it up to just nerves? Or, in your opinion, what did you see that didn't allow for the success that maybe the Bears were hoping for?
Execution. They just didn't execute at every level. I think up front, there were some breakdowns. There were some breakdowns with Caleb and some of his reads. There were some breakdowns with, you know, some of the throws. They just didn't get the job done. And again, you're going against, you know, some twos and some threes, and you would expect them to be able to move the ball down the field and put points on the board. They just were not able to. And I think there was ample blame to go around. We talked about the decision for how they chose to go about trying to move the ball and coming out throwing it the way they did. But there were also some assignment breakdowns. There were some execution breakdowns. I think there was ample blame to go around for why they were not able to do it. I don't want to overreact to it. I don't think it's this, you know, huge indicator that the offense, you know, isn't going to be what they hope they can be. But I definitely think that it's something that they need to go back and fix. It's something they need to look at. It's something that they have, you know, time before the Titans get there on September 8th to feel like they're, you know, kind of firing at least on more cylinders. I don't think they'll hit their stride until sometime mid-season. I think that people look at this offense and you see, hey, they brought in Keenan Allen, and they got number one pick in Caleb Williams, and they got Roma Dunze and DeAndre Swift, and you got Cole Kmet and DJ, and on and on and on. But it takes time to build chemistry in an offense. Guys have to be used to playing together as an offensive line, as a wide receiver group. I know Keenan Allen is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and DJ Moore is probably on the same. But it takes time to understand how to run routes off of each other, the spacing that needs to take place, the timing, the chemistry. We've seen Caleb and Rome kind of not be on the same page a couple of times with that. They did a little bit better of it later in the game. I'm sure we'll get to that. But I think that people just have to be a little bit patient with this offense. Fortunately for this offense, they've got a defense on the other side that's going to keep them in games as long as they need to be kept in the game until they can, you know, find a way to put some points on the board.
Yeah, and one thing that's going to help Caleb Williams and their offense is the defense, and we saw it yesterday. Herb, I've been talking to all my friends, and I'm like, look, the defense, I am not here for the top five before the season starts defenses in the NFL. I'm not here for that. I don't like that conversation. But what I do say is, listen, if the defense, the mistakes, or not mistakes, or the lack of productivity from Caleb Williams, that's inevitable. There are going to be moments. Like you said, it takes time for an offense to find its stride, the spacing, which is a great point. But if the defense can clean up some of those mistakes that we, like we saw yesterday, right? And with those three and outs, can you get the ball back? If Caleb Williams, or when Caleb Williams throws an interception, can you stop them from putting points on the board? And I think the defense really showcased that yesterday in the first half.
Yeah, I think they got a really, really good defense. And I feel you on the, you know, not making early predictions about where they'll rank and all that. I get that, and I agree with you. But you can also look at this defense, and you can see playmakers, elite playmakers at every level. And you talk about, you know, why are defenses good? Why is this defense good? And you go back through history of any of the great defenses, the Ravens in 2000, the Bears in 85, the Bears in 05. Like, you go back to any of these great defenses, and the common denominator is they have great players. It's not a thing that just happens, right? You got to have great players, and the Bears do. You look at Montez Sweat, he's one of the best players in the league at his position. Jalen Johnson is one of the best players in the league at his position. They have one of the best linebacker duos in the league. And you saw Kyler Gordon put his entire game on display yesterday. He is one of the best players in the league at his position. And when you have so many guys that you can say that about, you're going to have a good defense. It's just that simple. They play a scheme where all those guys know it. It's not overcomplicated. They're able to play fast. They're able to make their reads, get to their landmarks, and play with confidence. And you can see that out there on the field. That is not a fluke. It's not something that's going to go away. Teams are not going to be able to run the football on this team. Andrew Billings sets the tone for that up front. Javon Dexter is doing a great job next to him. They have ends that can set the edge. They have linebackers that come downhill. And they got DBs that like to support in the run game. And so you're not going to be able to run the ball on them. They're going to put you in third and mediums, third and long, more often than you want to be. And then they have playmakers that can get their hands on the ball. So that defense is legit. I don't know where they're going to rank. That's, you know, yards are yards, and it'll be whatever it is. But I don't know that teams are going to be able to score the ball with great consistency on this defense. And so you can see that kind of early, and that's going to allow this offense all the time that they need to kind of settle in. They do have elite playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. It's just going to take some time, and that may be week six, week seven. And, you know, there may be a game or two in there before then where they, you know, put up 30, 35, or 40, or whatever it may be. But it's just going to take some time for them to be able to consistently get what they want when they want it. And in the meantime, the defense will be doing what they need to do to kind of support them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the hope is, right? That the defense can keep games, you know, within reach, and then we can lean on, you know, the offense to put up enough points. But on the defensive side, you know, we got to see, obviously, you know, the second unit who, you know, it's been interesting, right, Herb? When you're looking at the Bears team, you know, 2 years ago when everybody got here, it was let's clean house and just get some bodies in the door. And then last year was about bringing in talent. And this year you could tell, you know, they're trying to work on their depth. And we're seeing that, right? I mean, when you're looking at guys like Daniel Hardy, you know, being brought in and playing exceptionally well. You know, Terrell Smith gets the interception last year, but it's no surprise. People were speaking highly of him last year, right? Austin Booker looks solid when he's standing upright, coming off of the edge. What can you say about some of the younger guys or the depth pieces of this Bears defense and how they'll be able to contribute this season?
Yeah, that's a testament to Ryan Poles and the staff and the players that they've brought in. Usually when you hear, you know, GMs or coaches coming into training camp and they're talking about, we got competition on this roster. A lot of times that's kind of cold word for we don't have elite talent at the top. And so we're trying to figure out who our best players are. A couple of years ago, the Bears came to camp with like 12, 14 wide receivers, and you couldn't figure out who the number two receiver was coming into camp out of all these guys. You thought six or seven of them could be that guy. And what that really meant was nobody really stands out. But you come in, oh, we got a lot of competition. Well, this year, the Bears say they got a lot of competition, and they do. And that competition is to make, you know, the back end of the roster. Who are our number twos? Who are going to be those last guys to make the roster? Because there is so much top-end talent that you can identify who the starters are, you know, up and down the field. And then it's like, okay, well, who can fill in behind them? And the guys behind them, every single time they've had their opportunities, they've made plays. When their number has been called, they've stepped up and produced. You haven't seen a huge fall-off. I talked about Kyler Gordon, the game he had yesterday. When he went out of the game, Josh Blackwell came in and played at the very same level. He comes off the edge. He hits the quarterback. He forces the turnover. Like, Josh Blackwell's making plays all over the field. You have guys like Elijah Hicks that can come in and play for you at safety. You talk about Terrell Smith. There's Jalen Jones. Like, all of these guys are able to come in and play at a high level. Jack Sanborn comes in. You see the other linebackers, Ogbong Bamiga and Michael Baskerville. Like, all these guys are coming in and making plays. And so you gotta just tip your hat to Ryan Poles for the guys that he has brought in that's allowed them to kind of have a good rotation at multiple levels, especially on the defense side of the ball, where there is not a huge drop-off when a starter maybe goes down for a play or two, or, you know, needs a blow or whatever it is. they've got guys behind them that are ready to come in and get the job done.
And it's been interesting because, you know, that began 2 years ago as well, right? When you're bringing in Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, Bears fans, you know, are so quick to speak highly of the secondary of the Chicago Bears. But that was a work in progress, right? I mean, and you're talking about, you know, Josh Blackwell coming in, of course, Elijah Hicks. I mean, these were guys that were brought in after. You know, these are guys, right? And so Poles has done a good job of understanding where the value needed to be initially and then continuing to bring in these pieces. We're talking to Herb Howard right here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run, doing a little remix action, a little bump and run is what we're calling this one, Herb.
Let's go.
Right. Let's switch over to the running back room. It's extremely crowded, right? You know, even with the addition of Velus Jones as of late, trying to find something. I talked to, you know, Clay Harbor, you know, my guy. We actually do a podcast together now. And I asked him, I was like, Clay, you ever got asked to, you know, be moved around for positions? He's like, Gabe, I'll tell you this. He's like, when I was with the Eagles, they tried to put me an outside linebacker. He's like, and I told them I didn't want to do that. So they moved me back to tight end. And then they said I was fast. So they wanted me to be a wide receiver. He goes, and then 2 weeks later, I was cut. he's like, so, you know, the writing might be on the wall, but he also pointed out the fact that Velus Jones Jr. is one of the most athletic and exciting players in the NFL. Yeah. He said hands aren't there, but obviously the Bears brass sees that. So when you're looking at the running back room, which is crowded, you know, DeAndre sits at the top of that totem pole. You've been hearing a lot of rumblings about Khalil Herbert. Roshan Johnson didn't have the best year last year. Travis Homer drops the pass in the end zone where you look for him to be that third down, you know, out of the backfield back. Talk to me about, you know, What your thoughts are on this running back room, and what is that pecking order after DeAndre Swift in your mind?
Yeah, I think the room's got a lot of talent. I think it's a room that has a lot of versatility, and I think it'll kind of sort itself out. And I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, this conversation around Khalil Herbert and people talking about he, you know, trade and, you know, getting him out of here. Like, I don't understand that. All Khalil Herbert does is get 4 and 5 yards when you give him the ball. That's all he does, and people are like, hey, he's just not good enough. And I don't know, because he's not flashy, he's not super fast, he's not super, like, shifty or nothing like, but he just produces when you give him the ball, and I don't know why people don't appreciate that. And so this idea of trading him doesn't make sense to me. One, because it doesn't improve your room. Two, because there's not really a market for trading, you know, running backs like that. If you're not Saquon Barkley or, you know what I mean, King Henry, like, nobody's right. looking to really do that. So I don't really see the value in it, and it also doesn't make your room better. And so I think they'll start with DeAndre Swift, who's shown the ability to do a lot of things as a running back. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Certainly want to see him keep his feet last week and finish that, you know, big play on the screen. But he can do whatever you need him to do. And then you got Khalil Herbert. And that'll take up the majority of the carries when you get into the season. I know it's a big conversation during preseason and everybody's getting all these carries. But when the regular season rolls around, you're not going to have 5 running backs in the game getting touches. This is not going to happen. So DeAndre Swift will get the majority of them. Khalil Herbert will get most of what's left. And then you'll have some packages for, you know, Velus or Roshan. Travis Homer probably won't ever really be in the backfield. That's just not what he's been for this team. And so it'll kind of sort itself out. But I think it's a really, really good room because I think, again, DeAndre Swift has the versatility to do everything you want. Khalil Herbert has been productive in this league. And I'm very intrigued by the possibilities that they can create by having Velus Jones back there as well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, there's going to be an odd man out situation. But I'm with you on the Khalil Herbert thing, Herb, where I'm saying to myself, I'm like, okay, when we loved Khalil Herbert, he was the number two back behind David Montgomery when he was performing exceptionally well. Right. When he was given the keys to the ship, that's when you started to feel, you know, a certain type of way. But you got DeAndre Swift there. So to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, change of – you don't have to be a change of pace back, but you know a guy that is extremely capable of being the change of pace back for the Chicago Bears. So for me, it's like, yeah, Khalil Herbert, that's where he thrives in a secondary role. To, like you said, give him the ball, get 5 yards, make defenses pay for it. I think Roshan Johnson last year, from what I saw, didn't make me feel confident to just say, oh, yeah, oh, well, trade Khalil Herbert because we got Roshan Johnson. That, right. To me, that doesn't, you know, can it happen? Sure, but I don't feel confident for giving him the keys as opposed to Khalil Herbert. And then in the back end of that, like you mentioned, there's going to be certain packages like there will be, but it'll be interesting to see. One last question before I get you out of here, Herb. I mean, obviously, you know, you're on the ground, man. You're at training camps, you know, unlike a lot of us. And we can watch a preseason game and we can see some names and we can read the paper. but our eyes aren't there. And people like you are. So I'm curious, and I feel like it happens, you know, to whoever's covering a team. You can always point out a guy who may not make the team, but you see some flashes of brilliance in certain moments. Who has been that guy for you this training camp, whether on the offensive side or defensive side of the ball?
I mean, I would look, you know, towards the defensive side of the ball, and I would, you know, look at the linebackers, man. I had a conversation with Micah Baskerville in the locker room yesterday, and just about their ability to kind of stay ready. They know the guys that are playing in front of them are elite guys, and there's not a lot of time and reps for them available once the season really gets going. But they just talked about, you know, one, learning from those guys, but two, staying ready. Micah Baskerville said, man, I went to LSU. I'm used to being in loaded rooms with a lot of guys, and you kind of wait your turn, but you stay ready. He made a great play last week with the pick six. You saw those guys all over the field this week. And so you look at Michael Baskerville, you look at Ogbon Gamiga, like these guys are making plays. I think the secondary is pretty set, right? I think not only do you know the first five guys, you probably know the next five guys too. And so that's pretty set. It's going to be hard to kind of crack the roster in the secondary. Those linebackers, man, they've been making plays every single time that they've had an opportunity to, and it's hard for me to just call out one. I got to call out at least a couple of them because they're making plays. I've seen the same thing at tight end too, right? You look at Sweeney and Bates; those guys have been making plays too. But if I had to choose one group, I would look at those linebackers and say that the plays that they've been making, I think they've just been, you know, staying ready. And again, it's a testament to what Ryan Poles has done, and he's working on the depth. It's a good place to be in, right? When you start to talk about working on the depth of the roster, usually we come into the season talking about the Bears' front-end talent. Who's going to be the starter here? Now we're talking about who's going to be the backup. Can Velus Jones be the third or fourth running back? Had a great conversation with him in the locker room about, you know, the position that he's in and all the outside noise about he can't play receiver and it doesn't make sense to put him at running back. And he's just really in a really good place mentally about it, of just being a football player and being ready when his number is called and making plays from a lot of different spaces. I think he has a very, very unique skill set, Gabe. And I think that, you know, maybe he's not a receiver. That's fine, right? But that doesn't mean he can't help you, right? Just because he's not a crisp route runner or he doesn't track the ball very well in the air, that's fine. But when you put it in his hands, he's still 6 feet. He's still 215 with 4.3 speed. And you can't teach that. And if you can't find a way to use that, in my opinion, that says more about you than it does about him.
Yeah, and clearly the Bears and Shane Waldron, right, Herb, they see that. I mean, they're trying to get him the ball because they realize that he is that guy. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. He had a tough go around the first couple of seasons with the Bears, but new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new schemes. Let's be excited to see what he ends up doing. Herb, you're the goods, man. I appreciate you jumping on. And, of course, you can catch Herb Howard weekly on CHGO. Make sure you guys get that as well. Herb, appreciate you giving me some of your time.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Check him out on Twitter, too, Herb Howard 411. Of course, covers the Bears for the Bigs. They do a great job of covering all Chicago sports, so make sure you follow all their team right there on everything they're doing. All right, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Bears defeat the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday, 27-3. Caleb Williams gets a whole half against the second unit and third unit of the Cincinnati Bengals. Thoughts on the game, specifically Caleb Williams, of course, and then we got Chuck Garfine jumping on at 11 o'clock so we can reset this hit and run and get back on the tracks. But Bears after that as well, all right? So your phone calls, Bears thoughts, and more coming up next. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run right here on The Score.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
1-2. Ground ball off the middle. This could do it. And a double play turn. That is the ball game. Sox lose game two in this three-game series, 6-1.
That's right. Sox lose yesterday, 6-1, after taking the first game of the three-game set against the Houston Astros. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, filling in for Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. And for my baseball fans out there, you can come on out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30 for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen in 670, the score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area. He's going to be mingling poolside. You know how it is, Theo style, putting your toes in. I can't imagine Ozzie sitting on the edge of the pool with his toes mingling. But I'm sure he's going to be poolside for sure. So be ready to talk baseball again. That's going to be at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. I would say, you don't want to call it a bright spot? Yes, a bright spot for the Chicago White Sox yesterday. Gus Varland got out there, got himself an inning of work. Oh, you don't know who that is? Lucky for you, we got Chuck Garfine coming up next from NBC Sports Chicago. He's going to talk about the performance of the reliever Gus Varland and this White Sox team. Talk about some bright spots that maybe you're not necessarily looking for. Chuck Garfine joins us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here. Hit and Run on a Sunday on 670 The Score.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.